Welcome to Gardens and Plants, a podcast about plants and gardening in the Washington, D.C. metro area. I'm Peggy Riccio, a horticulturist in Northern Virginia. My website, pegplant.com, is an online resource for gardeners in the D.C. metro area. I publish a free monthly gardening newsletter called Peg Plants Post.
And my name is Terry Speight, owner of cottageinthecourt.com, a website and blog where I share all things beautiful in the garden. From the places I visit, highlighting my favorite plants, books I'm reading, and more. And I live in Central Maryland.
So Terry, what's going on in your garden?
Well, you know, I have the evolving garden party happening here. My hydrangea tarvita is kicking butt. I have one at either corner of my front yard garden, and it looks like these beautiful white candelabras are sticking up, and they're just beautiful, Peggy. I can't describe it. It's like someone's doing a can-can in the midst of a green shrub. It's really, really pretty. Also, my native brown-eyed Susans are prepping. It's like they're fluffing their skirts. They have a ridiculously long season of bloom. And between the native black brown-eyed Susans, because they're not black-eyed Susans, they're brown-eyed Susans, and the Perovska in my garden, the combination is absolutely amazing. Another thing, because my garden has the blues from time to time, and in the fall, it really has the blues, the Caryopteris. I've got two different cultivars. One has a chartreuse leaf, and it's absolutely stunning. It's called Little Miss Sunshine. And the other one is called Bluebeard, which is another name for the Caryopteris, but this one is called Beyond Midnight. It's drought tolerant. They attract bees, they attract hummingbirds and butterflies. And you can cut them back in the spring because they bloom on new wood. So what I do from time to time in the season, if there's an errant branch or something, I have no problem cutting it off because I know it's just gonna fill out more at the base. Another thing that's happening that I'm really waiting for is the Calocarpa, also known as the beauty berry. They have these beautiful purple berries. So right now those berries are like a light shade of green and they're swelling because soon they will be purple. They also don't really start showing off until the leaves drop. Deer do love the leaves though, but they leave the berries alone. So you have a berry-licious display in the garden at the most unexpected time. The best part about the Calocarpa is bad soil don't care. It is not picky about soil, drought tolerant. It's one of those definitely can live in the cottage garden because I don't water. And all of the plants I just mentioned, they have survived these 100 degree temperature days and they haven't blinked not once. That's just in the front garden. In the back garden, of course, I'm still collecting lots of peppers. The tomatoes, the dwarf tomato plant is doing well. I'm plucking the green ones off because in the heat, they won't turn red. So I'm plucking them off and putting them in my window in the kitchen. And they're just really the cutest little thing. So that's what's going on right now. And I must say, if you want kale or collards, I got your kale and collards. I had old seed, not sure if all of it would germinate or not. I sowed the entire packet and I've got your kale and collards. What's going on in your garden, Peggy?
Well, your garden sounds like a happening place.
Always a party.
Yeah. Well, with all this rain, it's been good because I do have to water with a hose, but with the rain, I don't have to water with a hose, but I do end up with weeds. So I have to catch up on my weeding. And we have mosquitoes too. So every time I go out and work in the garden, spray myself with mosquito spray. So, and I want to encourage people that after it rains, dump the bucket. So if you got any containers with standing water, dump it because they can breed. So right now I'm weeding, and I grow a lot of vines such as Morning Glory. So I'm training them up the banister, and pumpkins are vining along. And so I have to move them off the lawn so the lawn people don't mow them off. And the melons are taking over. Yellow summer squash, I'm starting to get those now in the earth box, and that's doing well. Harvesting the cucumbers and the peppers. Peppers are starting to turn red, which I like. I have lots of different peppers in containers. And I cut my lemon verbena, and I made lemon verbena cookies, which are really delicious. Very strong lemon taste. And when you do this, you do it with the very young leaves. Don't use the older leaves because they have hairs on them, so it's kind of a hard texture. But what I think I'm going to do with the older leaves is just mince them up and mix them up with Epsom salts for the bath. So the lemon verbena is really a fantastic culinary herb to get a very strong lemon tint flavor, and you can use it in so many different things. Last week, we talked about saving seed, so you need to start thinking about that now. And we explained the difference between the hybrids, open pollinating, heirloom. So the hybrids are the ones where when you save the seed and you plant them again, you might not have the same characteristics that it was bred for. And the open pollinated means you could save the seed and then sow them again and you would get the same characteristics. And then an heirloom is an open pollinated that's been passed down from generation to generation. So all the heirlooms are open pollinated, but not all open pollinated plants are heirlooms. And we had said last time that we would talk about dry saving and wet saving. There's two different kinds of methods of saving seed depending on the plant. Mm-hmm. So the wet saving is for the squishy wet things like the tomatoes, but the dry saving to me is a lot easier. And you do it a lot with the annuals, a lot with the dry flowers like marigolds. So I save marigold seeds. Mm-hmm. So when they have obviously passed their prime and they're dried and they're like hanging down, you just cut them and you put them in a paper bag. So when the stalks are brown to at least an inch down from the seed head, just cut them and put them in a paper bag, let them dry even further. And then you don't have to wait. You don't have to do anything now. You can wait until the wintertime or something like that. And then you just put them on a plate and you separate them and then save them in a glass jar or a paper bag or something like that, but always label them. And for things like the 4 o'clocks, I have 4 o'clocks blooming in my garden. So for those, they will produce a seed that's a very obvious, like little black ball. And all you got to do is just save them in a paper bag. For the beans and the peas, you let them become completely overripe so that the pod has become leathery. And then you just save that and let it dry even further in a bag. And then for peppers, let them go to overripe red. And then you just save those seed. And in the spring when we had things bolt, you know, like the kale or like my pak choy, you just save those pods, put them in a paper bag, let them dry even further, and then you just separate the little pods to get the little seeds out. And then you just store the seeds in a glass jar or something like that, but you always label it because by the wintertime you've forgotten what it is.
Amen.
And that's how you do the dry saving part. It's very easy.
Yeah. Now, I generally will take the stalks of whatever seed I'm saving, and I put the flower head or the seed head in the brown bag, and I twist tie it or rubber band it, or if I'm really trying to be cute, use a little bit of ribbon, but I write on the bag, because you're right, in the middle of nesting season, you do not remember what you put in that bag. So I just hang them upside down in the basement. The reason why I use rubber bands is you can take a regular hanger from the dry cleaner, and if you put like a rubber band around the bag and the stalks, you can slip the other end of that loop over the hanger and hang them from, I have nails in the back of an unfinished area. So I have nails on the wall and nails hanging in the ceiling that I've kind of bent. You can hang them up. It makes for the perfect space for drying and saving them so that you won't forget where they are. So in the wintertime when I go down there, I can basically crush the whole bag and then separate it. It just makes for a fun afternoon.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely something to do in the wintertime, but now is the time to also save bags of all different sizes. And then even your, like if you get pills in little plastic containers, save those to save the seeds in, or glass jars. So so this is something to start thinking about now. Mm-hmm. And the next episode, we can talk about the wet method of saving seeds.
Yeah. And also when you say save all kinds of bags, you know those mesh bags that onions come in?
Right.
If you grow dahlia tubers, if you grow canna bulbs, you can put them in those mesh bags and hang them to let them kind of dry out a little bit before you put them in peat moss or wrap them in newspaper. If you wrap them in there wet, they will mold.
Right.
But if you just let the air hit them a little bit, you can knock a little bit of that soil off. Those mesh bags, that's from my dad. My dad used to do that with the canna tubers when we lived in D.C. and then growing up in D.C. And I just remember in the back of the basement, those canna tubers in those mesh onion bags. It was just, you know, reuse, recycle, reduce. You just can't go wrong when you do that.
Right. That's actually a good topic for another episode, too, to talk about how you can overwinter some of the bulbs, you know, how you can save some of these things that you might consider a tropical. You might think, oh, it's going to die, but you can dig it up and save it in the fall. So we could talk about that in another episode, too.
All right. So
there we go. So many things to talk about.
So many things. And it's so, this gardening, well, once you've got the bug, as I tell everyone that I encourage to garden, when you put that spade in the ground, you are making a commitment to the earth.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you got to have a little, a sense of being mindful when you're doing that. So, Peggy, where'd you go this week?
So, I went to River Farm. River Farm is the home of the American Horticulture Society, and it's on the Potomac River. It's north of Mount Vernon. I live in Alexandria, so it's only 15 minutes away from me off the George Washington Parkway. And this was actually part of George Washington's land, and he gave it to his secretary, Tobias, years ago. There's a beautiful old home there, which is now the office of the American Horticulture Society. Of course, the office is closed now, but you can go there Monday through Friday. It's open to the public. You can walk around. And there's actually a huge meadow that's overgrown right now, but it's on the river. And normally it's really beautiful. There's a beautiful view. And then around the house, there's a lot of annuals and perennials and tropicals. And right now, when I went there, there were these huge, large sunflowers that were blooming and some very healthy toothache plants. And I was very envious because I've been trying to grow the toothache plants from seed this year, and mine are not as lush as theirs. I'll put a picture of that up on my website so people can see what the toothache plant is. And then there was a very unusual plant in the tomato family that I'd never seen before called the purple devil or five-minute plant from Brazil, which is poisonous, but it has so many spines on it, you cannot touch it. So I'll put a picture of that up on my website too, because that was such a weird plant. And I can tell you, if you plant that thing, there ain't nobody going to go near it. It's the most lethal thing you've ever seen. But the grounds are very nice. And a part of the gardens were closed off, I guess, because of the rains. But it's still nice for walking around and getting out of the house. And the American Horticulture Society is a membership-based nonprofit organization. And I'm a member. So I get their magazine. And normally, they have events like plant sales and workshops and things like that. It's a very good organization to join. Where have you been lately?
Well, I spent the weekend in Maryland. Normally, I'd be packing up, ready to go across the pond. But instead, I went to Columbia, Maryland. And I hung out at Benjamin Banneker's homestead. Benjamin Banneker's homestead. Benjamin Banneker helped lay out D.C. He was an astronomer, but he also was into beekeeping. So Saturday, there was a demonstration by a young man, and he spoke about Benjamin Banneker and mead and bees. Mead is a honey wine, and you need the honey, you need the bees, the honey, to make the wine. So this young man experimented in making mead, and he showed us how, and he gave us a little bit of a history lesson. It was very, very well thought out. He presented well. We got to taste a sampling of mead from Charm City Mead, mead makers in Baltimore. And then I went back on Sunday, because when you talk about bees, you have my heart. Well, Bees, let me tell you. Did you know bees, Merrill used to have 14 different species. Now we're down to 10. But what kind of bee has a shiny butt?
What kind?
A carpenter bee. So I hung out with one of the master naturalists there, and we went out into the meadow and we identified different types of bees by their butts, no less. And one of them has a saddleback. That's the most common bee that you would find this time of year. The bees, certain bees come out earlier in the season, mid-season, late season. Some bees are as tiny as flies, and you would think that they're flies, but they're not. So it was very, very informative. I will go back. The Benjamin Banneker home, they have several classes, like they have a meteor shower party. Who's cooking in Mr. Banneker's cabin? Because if you go to the other end of the property, there's also a garden, a vegetable garden. They have an owl program, which is older, wiser learners, and they talk about pollinators. That's mid-August. They have campfires, and of course, they have stargazing. So you might want to log on to their website to find out things to do that are right here in our own backyard. And that would be at the Banneker Museum at Baltimore, Maryland, Baltimore County, Maryland.gov. But then also up in that same general area, I happened upon the Freetown Farm. It's a part of the Community Ecology Institute. It is a 6.4-acre organic farm in the heart of Howard County. That place has so many possibilities. It reminded me of the community garden that we had in Fredericksburg, Virginia. They have a beautiful red barn that's going to be their learning center. Before COVID, they had classes in there. Then they also had another area that's going to be a maker's studio, which I'm really intrigued about. This entity also had, I don't want to say it's a CSA, but they had a farmer there, and she gardened. She had beans, she had kale, she had squash, she had watermelons, she had tomatoes, and she was actually selling them. So I had tomatoes and the salad last night for dinner. Absolutely wonderful. No chemicals. Absolutely delicious. You really can tell the difference between homegrown and something in a store. So the mission of the Community Ecology Institute is to foster healthy communities. And it does this by connecting people and the natural world. Honestly, Peggy, in my opinion, this is something that should be in every community. They're going to offer programming once things kind of calm down with this pandemic. They're going to teach environmental sustainability, climate action, food production, as well as agricultural knowledge, nutrition, health and wellness, and cultural land heritage. So there was a garden plot there also that was maintained by a master gardener, part of the Eat It, Grow It program. And it was just beautiful. She demonstrated many different ways of growing, from container to berms to growing up. It was just really educational and informative. There's also what they call the climate change garden, and it's the second one in the state of Maryland.
That's cool.
So for that, yeah, if you want to find out more about that, you can go to the Community Ecology Institute .com. They have a Facebook page, Instagram page, and I'll be honest with you, I'll be going back there as well, because something like that, just for a quick example, there was another entity there that had a gift for the community. That entity was called Harvest United. 5-gallon buckets stacked taller than me, and they had soil. What they invited the community to do was to come in, fill up your bucket with soil, grab a pack of seeds, grab a lid. Your lid would be the saucer for your bucket. Take the seeds home and plant it. That way you're growing at home. You know what you're eating because you grew it yourself. Mm-hmm. And it just inspires the community to creatively garden in their own space. And that was a giveaway. So people were socially distanced, but honestly, I kind of spent a couple of hours there because I love environments like that. It must have been about 10, 15 people. They were timed right. They waited in line, socially distanced. Everyone had a story to tell about their experience growing. Families, people would bring their children. One lady was sharing tips on how to preserve your harvest. It was just such a great sense of community. It really was. So that's where I hung out, in Columbia, Maryland. 2 days, I went back and forth because it was worth it.
That sounds fantastic.
It was. It was a lot of fun, Peggy.
That's good.
So have you listened to much online?
Well, seems to be the time to have trade shows, virtual trade shows. So since you and I are professional garden communicators, we often get invited to these trade shows so we can learn what's new. So I'm always keeping an eye and ear out for new products and new plants. And I just learned about a new one called Petite Knockout Rose. It's part of the Knockout Rose line, but this is the new Petite, the first miniature, about 18 inches tall with red roses. And it's part of the Star Roses and Plants brand owned by Ball Horticultural. So gardeners might see this in the nurseries now or next year. And it's in a lime green plastic container with a large red circle that says Meet Petite. And the Petite
Dude,
Knockout
cute.
Rose. Yeah, it is very cute. And actually, it would be a fantastic container plant, but you can also do it in your garden beds. And it's supposed to have the same disease resistance as the other knockout roses, and it's hardy to zone 5. And because you and I are going to be attending some other trade shows and conferences and things like that, we'll be learning about new plants and products that we'll relay here on the Gardens and Plants podcast.
And how cool is that to get it firsthand from garden communicators?
Right. That's true.
Yeah.
Be in the know.
Yep. Be in the know. Well, I attended a Master Gardener Eat It, Grow It seminar, and it was quite a few hours, like 3 hours, almost 4 hours. But to see how communities are growing, one in particular was in Baltimore, where they actually do like a tour, mm-hmm. which they couldn't do this spring because of COVID, but they're thinking about making it virtual. It was exciting to hear how, you know, young people are going out and capturing the garden in real life. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited about that.
That sounds cool.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was just, I mean, everyone was sharing from the different counties how they were still keeping gardening alive. And everyone had a different way of doing it. So I was impressed, definitely inspired. And I also caught up with Deborah Turner of our community garden right here in District Heights, Fiesta Place. And she'll be on my YouTube channel. Deborah is so proud of that garden. And I remember when that garden was merely a question mark in everyone's minds about, what's that going to be? Because it's positioned between two houses. And now it is absolutely beautiful. So that'll be on my YouTube channel later this week. But other than that, there have been many virtual presentations. The Garden Conservancy has several, a couple more coming up. I attended one with them. If you go online and explore, just put in garden, virtual gardens, trust me, you'll find more than you could ever stand to listen to at one sitting.
Right. A lot of organizations are pivoting and doing a lot more virtual things. So I'm actually, every month I list the gardening events and I don't have any problems listing virtual ones now. In the beginning of this COVID thing, it was hard to list things, but now I have a lot that I can list every month. So from that list, I know that this coming Wednesday, Doug Tallamy and Larry Weiner are going to be giving a talk, and that's sponsored by the New Directions in the American Landscape. And then on Wednesday, Melinda Myers is giving a presentation called Managing Garden Pests While Keeping Pollinators Safe. And also on Wednesday is John McGee on landscape maintenance at HOAs. On Thursday is the Smithsonian Gardens. They do one every Thursday at noon. And this one's on garden photography tips. And then also on Thursday, Pennsylvania Horticulture Society is going to do live from Chanticleer, flowers, foliage, and form. Also on Thursday, Phipps Conservatory is going to do one on bouquets. And then the Master Gardeners of Northern Virginia on Friday is going to do one on fall and winter vegetable gardening. And like we had talked about in our past episode, Oatlands is going to have an afternoon tea on Sunday, and that's in person. So that's pretty brave of them.
That is very brave of them. But you know what? The garden hasn't stopped.
No.
And we can still experience the garden in a safe manner. So why not?
Yeah, and I like teas. I have been to teas in the afternoon, and I think it's actually a very cool tradition. I think we should have it here in America. But this afternoon tea at Oatland sounds like a great thing, and I think it's being catered. And of course, there's a fee, and you have to register for that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just for this week. I mean, that's just for this week. There's so many things happening now, virtual, and now more people are starting to do in person, which I find interesting.
Well, in person, and they're still a small group.
Right. Right.
So you feel safer knowing that you're not going to be in the midst of, you know, 30 people. It'll be a group of 10 or less. And it is very, very safe.
Right.
One thing I'd like to give a shout out to, I've noticed a lot of plants that I'm considering filling the gaps in my garden have been hard to come by. But another one of our garden communicators, Plant Addicts, plantaddicts.com, they have some surprising plant material. So you might want to check them out. They have one of the calocarpas that I have in mind. I'm going to order from them. And if you want to stay local, you can also try Homestead Gardens because they have a special going on right now. Right, Peggy?
Right. In the month of August, if you order $50 or more of their products, then they'll give you free delivery in certain zip codes in Maryland. I wouldn't qualify because I'm in Virginia, but you know, you can look up at their website and see which zip codes qualify.
Well, I'm thinking, why pack my Kia with mulch when I can have them deliver it?
That's true. That's a good idea.
Yeah. So I'm going to check my zip code just to be sure.
Maybe you'll get a special deal, though.
Maybe. You never know. You never know. And also, if you're in Prince George's County, don't forget, if you've got a garden question, the Prince George's County Master Gardeners also have a session on Saturdays where you can ask a Master Gardener. So if you're in Prince George's County, send us a question. Give us a call. We'd love to be able to help you out.
Great. Well, that's it for this episode. Gardens and Plants is broadcasted every week, and as professional garden communicators, we're excited about sharing what is happening in the DC metro area, including Northern Virginia and Maryland suburbs. Visit our websites for more detailed information at pegplant.com and cottageinthecourt.com. We're also very active on social media. You can find me at pegplant and Terry at cottageinthecourt. Both of us have links to this episode on our websites. Our podcast is available on 9 platforms, which I'll list in the show notes. We also have an email box that I'll list in the show notes, but email us at gardensinplantspodcast@gmail.com. Goodbye for now, and get in the garden.